Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Emerging Enterprise Radio, featuring high growth companies and their trusted advisors.
This is Lee Cantor. I'm with Stone Payton. Welcome to another episode of Emerging Enterprise Radio. Stone, how you doing?
I'm doing pretty well, but we skipped lunch. We got to work out the Wednesday schedule with all these new shows launching, but this is going to be exciting. I have just had a ball over the last, well, it's going to be a good 10, 12 months where we've been hanging out with the people that invest in these companies that are growing. We've been talking to trusted advisors. This is, I think I'm really going to look forward to this every week.
I know. We love the startup and emerging enterprise community. They got such passion, and they're doing the things that are going to grow the economy. So I'm excited.
But all that said, we won't be here this time next week.
Nope. You know what happens next week.
That's right. Venture Atlanta 2012, which I believe is how these good folks got on our radar. It's my understanding that our guests have had some opportunity to participate in and maybe even shine through previous venture at Atlanta things. So please welcome to the show with FashionAid.com, Miss Ella Dyer. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. I'm so happy to be here.
So you're a Venture Atlanta showcase company.
That is correct.
And but that's not the only credential you have. You guys have been around for a few years now, huh?
We've been here for a couple of years, and we are working now to go on to the next level. We started an application that began as a more of a B2B play, business-to-business play, and quickly realized that we needed to focus on the B2C play. And by C, I don't mean just consumer, I mean communities. So business to community, and that's what we're focused on now.
Now, why don't you share a little bit about FashionAid in general? What are you guys doing to help folks?
FashionAid is an application that allows a woman to access her wardrobe, including her apparel and accessories, at any time. So when she's wondering what to wear, which I see you guys all know what to wear every day.
Black jeans and a dark shirt, that's our...
When she's wondering what to wear or what to buy, she can access her wardrobe and help it, and we help her make that decision.
So how does that work in real life?
In real life,
my wife, does she have to go through and take a picture of her entire wardrobe?
Aren't you glad to know that she does not?
She does not.
She can, but actually, what we've done is we've created a master closet that has over 100,000 garments in it that she can select the stylized icons that best represent what she owns, and just kind of mix and match her outfits. She can share that with her social network and see if that's something that she should be wearing Saturday night. Exciting to most of our users is the opportunity to be able to make a notation as to when she wore that outfit last.
Oh, that's cool.
Thank you.
How did this idea come about? Did someone or yourself, did you find yourself complaining about some specific problem associated with this? Or how did the idea germinate?
Well, you know, women never complain about their clothes. They never spend any money on clothes. They never keep the men in their lives waiting for them while they're deciding what to wear, do they?
Never.
Okay. So my fabulous co-founder, Jody Fennell, who used to work at weather.com, somehow was thinking one day, and she has a closet kind of the size of in most apartments in Manhattan, and she just couldn't believe that she had all of these choices. Kind of the paradox of choice, and she didn't know what to wear to work that day. She and I have known each other for years socially, and we were talking with a bunch of our friends about what to wear to an upcoming event that we were all going to be at, and she just said, I think there should be some sort of an algorithm, some sort of an application that can help us get dressed. It shouldn't be that difficult. And that's how it began.
So then she decides, was the first iteration of this taking pictures of everything?
No.
It was never that.
It was never that. Because we saw in the marketplace that there were some applications that offered that. And at the time, it was just too cumbersome. It's probably much more common now with some technology for people to take pictures and upload. But when we first got started, that was not the case. So we said, well, let's do that work, that heavy lifting for our users first. Uh-huh. And that's what we did. That's when we created the master closet.
So what does this mean that you're a Venture Atlanta Showcase company? What exactly does that mean?
We had the opportunity to pitch on day one of Venture Atlanta last year.
Wow.
And so you can see Ella Dyer, Venture Atlanta 2011 on YouTube. I scared the audience a little bit when I started to talk about my background. And I see my one of my tech team members over here laughing. I've had a varied career path. I worked for Hugh Hefner many years ago, and I was also a licensed bail bond agent, which reminds me, some of you look kind of familiar.
Is that how you found your investors?
Actually, then I also worked for an angel fund, a private angel fund. And so when Jody shared her idea with me, I kind of jumped on the other side of the table and turned into that fashionable Victor Kiam and invested in the company.
Now, what was it like building the team out? Like when you, how did you go from
you're
going
to go right by Hugh Hefner? I'm impressed.
I was going to save the
You're coming back to Hugh later. Okay.
I'll
let him do his thing.
I was going to do a callback to that.
All right. Fair enough.
I appreciate that. So you have an idea, and I get ideas are, you know, there's a million ideas. It's actually taking the idea and then making it into something real. How did you guys, you know, move from that stage to the make it real stage?
We spent some time with end users finding out what it was that they wanted. We
also what was the pain that they were having?
I mean, exactly.
The pain, I mean, I thought would be self-evident in that it's just like too much choice almost.
Right. So how do you catalog that choice?
Right.
How do you mix and match it? How do you put some science to it? And that's what we did. We spent some time with the end users. We spent time with prospective customers who would pay for such an application, who would pay for really the data that such an application collects.
Right.
And that's what we did. And we moved forward with a beta release. And we came out of beta and recognized that we were still not where we needed to be. We spent about a quarter last year and just recognized that we needed to make some additional changes. So we continue to just look at what the end user wants. She wants something that's easy. She wants something at her fingertips. She wants something that will give her an answer. If she's wondering what to wear that day, she wants to be able to pull it up on her mobile device. If she's in a store where all retailers hope that she is, or online shopping, she wants to see what her options are, and she wants to make a purchase right then and there. So that's what we set out building. And with that, we just went back to our network and said, okay, this is the holes, or this is the opportunity, I should say, on our team. We need to fill in some blanks here. We need someone with a tremendous marketing eye and someone that is a different demographic from myself. I'm kind of the mature end of our demographic. So we need to go down to the millennials. And that's what we did. We recruited Christopher Mackin as our Senior Director of Marketing and Creative Development. He's also known in the Southeast as Mr. Infamous. And then we asked our chief chick, Jen Bonet of Startup Chicks, that we need a little help on site with mobile, moving towards mobile, because we know that she wants to take her wardrobe with her wherever she goes. And it's not just about her wardrobe. We're also moving into an entire lifestyle application.
Now, when you're saying lifestyle, how are you defining that?
Let's think about that. We start with her wardrobe. We want to help women be their best, beginning with their wardrobes. And what about if she's, wanting to increase something in her health or her education or something? She wants to feel good about herself. So she puts on a fabulous outfit, but maybe she is unaware of what to, create for dinner or to manage a busy schedule and so forth. So we're moving the application into something that's going to be much more inclusive of her entire lifestyle. And
is there a device component?
Yes, there is. Mr. Infamous and our style director, Michelle Lynch, are our gurus for all things lifestyle. They have
so you
been...
didn't tap Hugh Hefner for that?
Actually, I did not, no. Now, keep in mind, this was decades ago when I worked for Mr. Hefner, and I'd like to ask you gentlemen what you think I may have done. At the Playboy Mansion.
So you were at the actual mansion?
Yes.
It wasn't like cleaning the grotto?
No.
No?
Mm-mm. I think you're in charge of marketing.
Oh, thank you. That was a prelude of things to come. No, I worked in the garage.
In the garage.
Which was helpful.
I was close.
Yeah. Cool. I parked cars for him. I parked his cars for him. That helped when I went to become a truck driver. So I've had a very
career path. That was a logical progression.
Sure.
So how did you go from bunnies to angels?
Mm-hmm. Excellent question. Had the opportunity to invest in some technology companies here in the Atlanta area, one in particular, Encore Systems, which developed the first front desk customer relationship management system for the hospitality industry. That was the brainchild of Penny Sellers, who I was able to recruit to come to FashionAid.com, and we say FashionAid like lemonade. And as our president. And Penny, early on, had success by listening to the end user. And that's what we've continued to do. What does our audience want from us? They want something that's accessible. They want something that's easy. And they just want answers for their busy lives.
You know, I'll tell you what my wife is always asking for, and it comes to this, is she would love a way when she's watching television or a movie to go, where can I get an outfit like that or similar to that where, like, you can, you know, you're writing that down?
Look at that.
Writing that down.
That was worth the trip to the studio, it looks like.
That she's like, I wish there was a way that I can, like, point something at the TV and roll over that and say, where did she get that outfit or that shirt or that?
I'm actually aware of some technology that does that. I may have to poach.
All right. Yes. There you go. But that was, that's her, on her wish list. So when you pull that together, just let me know.
I'll do that.
Well, you know where the guy's mind is. For me, when you were talking about expanding for the lifestyle, I was in Trader Joe's yesterday. And how cool will it have been walking through that store with something connected to our pantry and for upcoming menus, because we have a lot of family coming for Thanksgiving and Christmas and all that. That's
fantastic. Thank you, Stone. Thank you very much, because that's what we've said. We've started with a woman's wardrobe. And what we will be doing in the very near future is expanding that so that the closet then really becomes the pantry, the cabinet. Think of your craft room, if you had one, those supplies. So think about anything that we have to organize, catalog, and replenish. And that's the technology that we're developing. We, again, beginning with a woman's wardrobe via FashionAid.com.
Now, would FashionAid help the person that maybe they're going on a job interview? And could it kind of assess which choice would be more appropriate?
Yes. Our style directors and the community that we're building can assist in that. Now, it's not always... A user doesn't always want to know if something's hot or not. She may not want to be rated per se, but she may want to ask her best friend, her most fashionable girlfriend, about an idea, an ensemble that she's put together. And this allows her to do that because she can create the outfit and she can share it with her network and say, you know, give me your opinion. Is this skirt going to be too short for Saturday night? Or I've got this job interview. Does this pantsuit look too stodgy? And so forth. So we know trends are constantly changing, and our creative team keeps up with those and sends a message to our users and to our would-be users through social media on a weekly basis.
Now, last year you pitched on day one, I think you said.
Yes, we did.
And you don't get even probably as much time as we've invested in this conversation, right? It's a pretty short amount of time. You got to be on point. What were you wanting to accomplish, and what did you have to do on the backside of that to get to the point where you are now?
Great, great question. That particular day, I just wanted to accomplish not embarrassing myself and my team. that six-minute pitch.
6 minutes?
6 minutes.
Wow.
6 minutes to
Did you wing it, or you practiced?
Well, I'm a former theater major, so I had a little bit of both there. But we did practice. We are very diligent. And we had some great coaching, the Atlanta startup
community. That's part
community.
Of what you get is when you pitch there, right?
Yes, you certainly do. And I encourage all startups, all entrepreneurs, if you've been at it for a while and you've had to, you know, reassess your value proposition, to apply, to just really go into the ecosystem of the startup community here in Atlanta, because they're very, very helpful. I mentioned Startup Chicks previously. We met Jen and Startup Chicks through Cap Venture early in our journey, Jody and I did, and it has been phenomenal for us. We've continued to stay close to the community and our advisors, some of who became early investors. So since Venture Atlanta last year, we've done the proverbial pivot, as many, many young companies do. We actually pirouetted and wore stilettos doing so.
When you were at that stage, that's a critical point in any endeavor like this, because there's also pivot is an option, but also is pack it in is an option too. But you chose
not for Ella. Look at her eyes when you said that.
Well, you have to have a decision. You're making a decision. Should I stop doing this, or is this working, or do we have to abandon this dream, or can we move it to another, you know, in another direction?
Exactly.
When you have investors that are going, hey, you're on the clock, and I expect a certain level of growth.
Certainly.
Well, you know, this is Wally.
You want to jump in, Wally?
Yeah. Hey, Wally.
I'm going to jump in now. I've been so quiet for 15 minutes.
Please welcome Wally to the show.
Yeah. So, you know, it's kind of interesting because we're talking about this pivot, and this is the time when I came in, okay? And one of the things that I see from Chris and Penny and Ella is, you know, they're not, and actually myself, and sometimes it's a negative, they're not afraid to jump in where angels fear to tread, okay? So they are always going to give, you know, that effort all the way up to the, you know, as they would say in sports, to the end of the play, okay? They are always pushing. They are always trying to make something happen. And that's one of those things that I saw as a strength. Now, I've only been here 7-8 weeks, something like that. But it's interesting. You talked about the pitch last year for Venture Atlanta, and I think it's probably got like 1,500 views on YouTube. And I think half of them are me looking at this and also sharing this with other people. Hey, what do you think of this? What about this idea? And interestingly enough, I got a ton of feedback on it from my network, basically saying, hey, I think they've got something there. If they can, you know, get everything in the right format, if they can, you know, present it to the user, there's an idea there that's probably got some legs. My 82-year-old father said, that's not a bad idea. That's a pretty good idea. And he has a background in retail. So I, you know, took his advice on this and said, yeah, Ella, why don't I come down to Atlanta and let's sit down and talk about some of this.
And that was a turning point for us, because Wally's helping to move us towards mobile. We know that we've saw the recent plunge in Facebook stock because their mobile application wasn't what their users wanted it to be. Exactly. Right. So FashionAid.com now will be available for mobile sign up. You can go deep into the experience, it's probably starting next week, on your mobile device. But for the best experience, it's still your laptop or desktop, unless, of course, you have some fabulous tablet. We know that now it's all about mobile, and that's right. Where we're taking it with Wally's help.
So talk a little bit more about, you've referenced team several times in this conversation. Mm-hmm. I'm sure that's no accident. Is that where you put a lot of the initial money that you got? Did you turn around and invested it in team?
We have used it very, very wisely. And we have been able to recruit a team. We've raised some money with typical friends, family, and folks, because I don't think there are any real fools out there in my network.
Ella's critical of me for calling that the three F's.
That's what I always thought it was. I'd never heard of folks before.
I've never had either. So.
Mm-hmm. But a little story is that one of those early investors was this amazing woman out of California who is a global officer for a Fortune 100 company and just happens to be my dear sweet husband's ex-girlfriend. So when you talk about not giving up, when you talk about she's also a wonderful, dear, close family friend, but talk about not giving up and, you know, what do you do when you take investment dollars. I see Miss Successful Kathleen just smiling at me. And I'm like, I'm going to find a way to make this work. Yes, we did invest in the team. Yes, we did invest in market research and really vetting the idea. We didn't raise that much money, which was a good thing because it enabled us to continue with the lean startup philosophy and to really look at the best way to do things in the most frugal manner possible. And I can't say enough about the team that we have put together this summer when we recognized that we needed to go more business to community and definitely move towards mobile. So we have just some amazing talent around us. We have the support of our advisors and early investors. A big shout out to our law firm, Syavage Law Group, whose hospitality might be wearing thin, but they tend to love us. Thank you, Mike. And we just are moving forward.
So when you were at the beginning stages of this and you were building that kind of board of advisors and the relationship with the law firms and I'm sure your accounting firms, how did you choose them? Like, what was your criteria of that law firm? Was it somebody that can help you move the ball, or was it a family friend? Like, how did you decide which people you were going to allow on the team?
Good question. You have to have the right fit. And so due diligence is not just an investor looking at an opportunity. It's partners looking at one another. It's us looking at vendors. It's us looking at our prospective customers. But going back to the wonderful support of the startup community, you get to know these particular service providers and advisors through the startup community, and you get a feel for what it would be like to work with them. And it was real clear to Jody and myself early on that Mike and his team would be someone that we would want to work with. Mike has a background, obviously is a phenomenal attorney, but also has been in the startup community with Red Hot Law Firm, and so understands what it takes to, have a successful enterprise. And we just felt very comfortable with him. He's just easygoing and accessible, hospitable. And we just always, in fact, we had one advisor that became an investor, and she reviewed her legal documents, and she said that in the, her 25, 30 years of business, those were the cleanest legal documents that she ever had seen before. And I'm a big fan of Joanne Wilson, the blog writer of Gotham Gal out of New York. And she talks a lot about her investments, and she says she will look a lot at a lot of different opportunities, and she'll maybe invest or take a chance or calculated risk on an idea that she's not familiar with or this or that. One thing that she will not take a risk on is not having proper legal documentation. So we were very, very fortunate to have been working with Mike from the beginning. And Mike has just been excellent for us. And you can tell I love my team, so I'm going to continue to talk about
absolutely.
Them. Sorry about that, Stone. We look around at, how do we fill in the gaps or the opportunity there? So although I have earned an MBA a few years ago, finance is not really my strength. I can run a spreadsheet and so forth, but I'm a lot better on stage than I am behind an Excel spreadsheet. We have an advisor and investor out of New York, Stephen Adler of Summit Financial Ventures, and that gentleman can run a spreadsheet like nobody's business, and I run all of our financial things through him. We have a local accounting firm, of course. Shout out to Accountunet, and but that's how we did it, you know. And Stephen came to us through Jody's network, and he has been excellent. So we looked at, fortunately, Jody and I were blessed with very expansive networks to look into and say, okay, we need some help here. Who do you know? And we looked through, you know, our LinkedIn profiles and said, okay, wait, let me reach out to so-and-so. And that's what we did.
And then so you're kind of building this team, and you didn't care if they were all in Atlanta. So you have kind of advisors and vendors all over the country.
All over the country and even in South America, yes. Our shout out to Leo and Goose of Nibble Group, who do some amazing work for us and have been some of our early advisors and investors as well. So the beauty of technology is that you can work remotely. It is wonderful to be on a team that at times you can be in the same room. We proved that last week, a road trip to South Georgia to work with some of the greatest graphic people I've ever seen. But we needed to be in the same room with them. So we packed a lunch, and we hopped in my smart car, and we headed south. Yes, yes. And sat there, you know, for a couple of days and really knocked it out.
Some of us longer than others, Ella.
Yes, that is true. But Wally, you do the magic. Mm-hmm. You have the magic wand of technology there. So we are very, very excited to the pending release of FashionAid.com 2.1. Again, that's FashionAid like lemonade. Or as Mr. Infamous says, fashionate.
Like champagne.
Yes. And it's a brand new look. It is a brand new feel. And we are just really excited to have our users tell us, continue to tell us what they want in an application.
When you were initially looking for advisors, were you looking at advisors with an eye on moving them to be investors?
It's always a good thing to have your advisor as an investor or have them have that opportunity, I believe, because it does just that. It gives them even more reason to stay close to you. We stay very close to our advisors with weekly or bi-monthly updates. I'll share little victories with them, and I'll also reach out to them sometimes individually, knowing what their strengths are. I mentioned Stephen and his ability to rock a spreadsheet. You know, if I'm working on a cap table and I'm just not quite sure about it, it's like, yo, Stephen, you know, get this back, look at this, get this back to me. And he's like, Ella, well, you know, who taught you math? kind of thing. And, you know, so it's some of them started out as advisors. And we were just really flattered and knew that we were going in the right way when they also said that they wanted to be investors.
But can you kind of walk us through that conversation of how you ask them to be an advisor and ask for that kind of help, and then also how you move them from being an advisor to being an investor and ask them that question?
Certainly. So sometimes it starts out with just a very casual conversation. And knowing who you're speaking with and what their background in is key. Because that's how, you know, as we network, that's what we're thinking about.
But these are never complete strangers, right? These are people you've already had relationships, or they could be complete strangers?
They can be complete strangers that you develop relationships with. Mm-hmm. Joanne Wilson of Gotham Gal, I've not had the pleasure of meeting in person, although, bless her heart, she probably thinks I stalk her. But I have felt because of reading her blog regularly and because of the interaction that I've had with her via email, I feel like I can reach out to her and say, thoughts on this? You know, can you just give me a piece of advice on this one subject here? And, you know, she'll give me a response. It can start like that. One advisor that we met through Startup Chicks, extremely successful woman, she and I started walking together in the park and talking. Just struck up a friendship. You know, we met at Startup Chicks and like, hey, I just live around the corner. Hey, you want to take a walk Saturday morning in the park? Yeah, that'd be great. 2 hours later, okay, now this is what I think you need to do, Ella. Like, you got it. All right. And you sold that last startup for how much? Yeah, I'm listening to you.
Exactly. I'm writing that down.
Yeah, exactly. So it can happen in a variety of ways. I think the most important thing is to be authentic about it. Mm-hmm. When you approach someone, it's like, you know, I understand that you really know X. And I need some help in that. Could you give me 15 minutes? But always, you know, end that conversation with, and what could I do for you? It's, you know, who would you like to meet, or who mm-hmm. might I know? Always a give back. And so we've just been very, very fortunate to have that work out well for us.
Now, do you find women are more collaborative than men, or the same? Because you mentioned a lot of women.
Yes, we have mm-hmm. a lot of women on the team. Actually, I say it's 50-50, really do. Wally, you know, came to us through Startup Chicks as a friend of a chick,
yes.
not as a
yes.
startup chick.
Yes.
And has been the most collaborative, just extraordinarily collaborative. And it's like, yo, Wally, we need to do this and that. And, you know, and he's like, okay, we can. I'm like, really? He's like, yeah.
Well, there is a line that I'm famous for, not in 2.1.
Yes, that is true. Yes. That is true. So when Christopher, our creative director, says, Wally, can we have it do this, this, and this? And he's really working a magic wand. And Wally says, not in 2.1. So I think men and women both, when the team gels like ours has, and again, we have advisors on the West Coast and investors on the West Coast, when it gels like we've been fortunate to have happen, there's a lot of collaboration, mm-hmm. and it's male, female, or not.
So, Wally, you're about 8 weeks into this thing. Is that right? Is that
yeah.
accurate? So at some point it moved from intriguing to I'm all in. Do you remember that one point, or what was pushed you over the edge a little bit?
It was his dad. When the dad.
Well, actually, there are two things. And, yeah, my father literally saying, I think they've got an idea here, and if they can execute on it properly, then, you know, there's some legs there, because retail and women's retail is a big deal. Now, he's 82 years old. He doesn't understand all the pieces. He was trying to say, so this is going to go into Facebook. You know, what is Facebook again? You know, trying to, you know, he doesn't understand, obviously, all the pieces. But, you know, he understood enough, and he understood, you know, the economics of it. And that's interesting, because while I'm in the technology world, I mean, I'm a Georgia Tech graduate. I've got a lot of ties to Atlanta. I'm not living in Atlanta right now. Well, I have been for the last 8 weeks or so. But, you know, that was one of the pieces. And then also that Venture Atlanta video was a big deal to me. And listening to Ella and, you know, her background coming from the angel investor area, you know, that was a big deal, because I said, you know, that's somebody who's going to understand that, yes, you want to have an idea, you want to do some things that are going to change the world, you know, you want to affect people's lives in a positive way, but you also have to do it in a way that makes sense economically. And that was a big deal to me. And I said, you know, I'm going to go invest a day or two with them and talk to them. And we went through that whole conversation. How many pieces of paper did we have on the wall the first day?
Like six.
Six? We've got like 30 now, I think.
Right.
So, you know, there was a lot of collaboration, and I was like, you know, hey, this sounds like a pretty good idea.
But with your background, you probably get bombarded with good ideas.
Oh, I get bombarded with good ideas from people who have no idea how to make them work economically.
Right. So, I mean, this one obviously bubbled up to the top of that list.
Right.
In what period of time are we talking?
Oh, literally, I would say it was probably a week or so, because Ella's mentioned Jennifer Bonet. And Jennifer is somebody who's in my network. I had met her 5 or 6 years ago, and we'd met at a conference I was speaking at, and she came up. She asked me a bunch of questions afterwards, and then, interestingly enough, we kept in contact after that. And I said, you know, Jennifer's somebody who's pretty sharp, and, you know, I've talked to her. I've watched her career grow. I've watched some of the things that she's done. So for Jennifer to reach out to me and say, hey, you need to be in contact with Ella, you know, I kind of said, hey, that makes a lot of sense. You know, so it wasn't that it was just I get a lot of messages over LinkedIn about, hey, why don't you move to, you know, Silicon Valley and do this? And I'm like, really that's all you're going to do. That's all the game you've got in an email to say, whoa, you should, you know, come work for us. I mean, come on. But that ability to be able to explain what's going on, you know, I think that's really important to understand the economics of things. That's important. You know, those were really the big things for me.
So this year, will you be attending the event, and will you be presented on a riser with a tiara as like last year's showcase? Or how's that work?
Actually, no, we will not. Our marketing plan is taking us in other directions. Christopher Mackin is working the Southeast area for us with a variety of events and radio and television. And so we are not showcasing or presenting at Venture Atlanta this year. I am off to Europe next week to Boston tomorrow and Europe next week to speak to some potential advisors and investors. And we're going not outside the Atlanta startup community, but we're going to, the application is now going more of a, like I said, a business to community application as opposed to business. And that's our plan for the rest of the
year. And when you're saying community, what are you defining as community?
Excellent question. So you gentlemen may or may not be aware that there's an entire organization, a global organization of Stylist International, Style Image Consultants. I don't think you guys know about that.
It was not on my radar.
I don't think you're complimenting us right now.
But that's okay. And so they are a community of end users for us. So we are, you know, working that.
So are there trade shows of stylists?
There are trade shows of stylists. There are trade shows of retailers. There are trade shows
so
of
you
everything.
Have booths in these
so
things?
We have exhibited in the past at shop.org's program. But what we are thinking of is the stylists that, like, we met Stacy London of Style for Hire and of What Not to Wear fame last night. And so she and, you know, her team of stylists are trying to get in, are successfully getting to the end user through her application. And it's a way for us to collaborate with them because she, as a style consultant, and her whole community of style consultants are women and eventually men that would be using our application.
Uh-huh.
So that's how we're going.
So you're looking for people or groups that are multipliers.
Exactly.
But as good as things have gone so far, you're still seeking out more money and more advice. I mean, you're continuing to learn and get...
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Wally may be an expert in mobile. We're not maybe. We know
maybe.
That he
we're not
yeah,
sure.
I was about
we
to say,
he,
why are you insulting me?
We know that he is. But as the CEO of FashionAid.com, I will always be learning. And true, I have to make the final decision, but I'm always open to advice, coaching, opportunities, and other suggestions.
Well, if you would, we'd like, before we wrap up, if you could share a piece of counsel or two to people that are maybe close to where you were a year ago, and maybe share with them something that they might choose not to do that might save them a lot of heartache, or something they might choose to do that could really propel them, that if you had the benefit of that knowledge, it might have saved you some time or gave you a leg up.
I have to catch a plane to Boston tomorrow morning. I don't have time to answer that question. I think be open-minded. If you're in a leadership role in your company, you have an idea, you know, don't give up. Sometimes our ideas grow. I think of it as like your children. You might have hopes that your child grows up to be an astronaut, and yet, you know, what they really excel at and are passionate about is their art. So don't give up, but definitely be open-minded. I seek out people that have succeeded, like Wally, and I ask them how they did it. I say, okay, this is where we think we're going, and we have a pretty good chance of getting there. What do you think? Or tell me, you know, on your journey, how, when you came to this fork in the road? How did you make that decision? And I think it's just being really open-minded, being coachable. We always hear investors say that they invest in the person more than the idea. They invest in the team. They invest the coachability of the group. And just keep that up. And just my husband, Jody Dyer, who is an entrepreneur in his own right and one of my biggest supporters, has always said it's only work if you'd rather be someplace else. And when it comes to our team and what we're doing, when I see the look on a woman's face, when I said, if I've got an application that you could access your wardrobe right here, right now, and decide what to wear, what do you think about that? And see the look on her face, and she goes, oh, my God, I need that. I never know what to wear. That keeps me going.
Can I add in one thing for that Ella mentioned, just my personal experience, is I think the coachability, it's just so, so important. This is the fourth startup I've worked with. On the other three, the two that were successful spent a tremendous amount of time listening to their users, you know, meeting with everyone, would meet together, say, hey, how are we going to go solve this problem? There's this problem, there's this issue, that issue, blah, blah, blah. How do we go through, walk through, solve this issue for our customers? And I think that that's really important. The other that did not succeed, they didn't want to do that. They had literally, I kid you not, they had a 125-page document that they started with when we first came in. They said, this is what we want to build. And whenever we said, that's not what the users want, they said, that's not in our document. And I think that was a very big thing.
You're kidding me.
I mean, no, really? I'm very, very serious on
that.
So that
top-down from the ivory tower doesn't work? It's better bottom-up to learn from the actual people who use what you've got?
That is what I have seen in the marketplace,
what a
yes.
shocking development.
Yeah.
Well, you must have said a dozen times in your conversation, you talked about listening.
Definitely.
That's so important.
Good stuff. Well, one more time, this app, is it free? Is it cost
Absolutely.
Money?
Absolutely. It's
and
free
it's available
to
everywhere?
It's available, and 2.1 comes out in a matter of hours. Oh,
but wow. You can get the original one right now, and then it'll update when 2.1 updates, so that'll automatically happen?
That's correct.
And you have a Facebook page, I would imagine?
Sure we do. Follow us on Twitter. Everyone listening right now, go to Twitter, and it's FashionAid. That's FashionAid like lemonade. And just follow us right now because you'll be the first to know when 2.1 is available.
Excellent. Well, thank you guys for participating in this. This is Lee Cantor for Stone Payton. We will see you all next week on Emerging Enterprise Radio.